Hi, Bob Barney with The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com, and it's that time of year again we call Christmas, and we're going to talk about the same things we have put up on The Plain Truth now for some 18 years since it started into print form online, and before that, when we did racerap.com and other websites that we had, we always, for the last 40 years, let everyone know really where Christmas comes from. Christmas has nothing to do with the Bible. Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, other than that Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament, tells us not to celebrate such a situation, such a day, and that we are not to celebrate pagan holidays and think we're doing God a service when we put God's name on a pagan holiday. And you can find that, by the way, in many places in the Bible. For example, Leviticus 20:23 says, "You shall not follow the habits of the nations that I am driving out before you, for they did all these things," celebrate things like Christmas under a different name, or Easter under the same name. "They did all these things, and therefore I abhorred them." And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30, says this, "Take care that you are not ensnared to follow after these pagan holidays after they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods that I may do the same?'" Ha. Or Ephesians, New Testament, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, you read these words, written in the Old Testament, yes, but it's God, the God who became Jesus Christ, tells Jeremiah this, "For the customs of the people are worthless." Or you could say right here, "The traditions of the people are worthless." Because really, when you really study Christmas, even Easter, but especially Christmas, it's all based on traditions. Nothing's based on the Bible. "For the customs or the traditions of the people are worthless. They cut down a tree from the forest. It's worked by their hands of a craftsman with a chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold and fasten it with a hammer and nails so it will not fall over." Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that sounds like a forerunner of the Christmas tree that Jeremiah is talking about here, or God is telling Jeremiah that we are not to do these evil customs? It's just something, again, that constantly happens when we refuse to follow the will of God. Here's an excerpt from a little bit of history of the traditions of Christmas and really where they came from.
"While most ethnic Europeans now celebrate Christmas in one form or another, either according to the Julian or Gregorian date, the origins of most elements of the Christmas celebration do not have their origin in Christianity. Flying reindeer and elves are hardly Christian after all. But even the date may not be of Christian origin. While we should be aware that much related to modern Christmas was carefully crafted and marketed within the modern era in order to create a more secular an increasingly commercialized event, there most certainly were celebrations held around midwinter throughout Europe, long before the Christian religion existed, in a time when European peoples worshipped their own gods and held their own myths and histories and the celebrations that accompanied them. We are going to take a look at some of these traditions, from the frigid temperatures of Novgorod, Russia, to the Western Isles of Scotland. We will unwrap clues that may just gift us with greater insight into the customs of our ancient past and our Christmas before Christ."
I'll put the entire broadcast here. It's called Christmas Before Christ, Yule and Other Northern European Traditions. And you will just find out just how pagan and how affront to God following Christmas really is. And I know this is something you did, and your parents did, and your grandparents did, and your great-grandparents may have done, because the plain truth of the matter is, Christmas is not the celebration of antiquity, as so many people believe. As we put up a story the other day on The Plain Truth, you realize that Christmas at one time was outlawed in many states of the United States of America. The Puritans, for example, forbade anybody to take the day off at Christmas or to worship at Christmas. Instead, they were to work on Christmas Day because they understood wholly that Christmas was a pagan, anti-Christian, anti-Bible holiday. Why do we follow what we do? We follow what we do because the plain truth, again, is that Satan, the angel of light, turned into the angel of darkness, who masquerades as a Christian religion under many names, Catholicism, most Protestant faiths. They're all offshoots of this Babylon mystery religion talked about in Revelation that Satan is the founder of. And so Satan took the holidays that were to him, all pagan holidays are really holidays for Satan and his demons. They took those holidays, they put Christ's name on it, and they started a false gospel. A false gospel. And I'm going to go into that right now to show you that even the Apostle Paul talked about, even in his day, there was already a false Christianity being spread. A false gospel. I'm not going to read it myself because I always like Alexander Scorby's rendition of the real King James Version of the Bible. Reading the 11th chapter of the second book of Corinthians, when Paul already at this time, some almost 2,000 years ago, is warning people in the church of another gospel, another Jesus, a false Christian church that was arising. That became, by the way, the Catholic Church. And then the daughters of the Catholic Church were the Protestant churches that kept all of the traditions of the Catholic Church, all the paganism, but put the Pope on, you know, off the map. But listen to this and see if you've read this before, and how do you follow Christmas? How do you follow these churches that change the Sabbath day, change the holy days from God's holy days to pagan holy days? And how do you explain what Paul is talking about here?
But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things.
So we start out, Paul is warning of about another gospel being preached at his time already. There is already a false pagan Christianity being spread throughout all the travels of Paul. And he's warning. And then verse 13 of this, he explains that it comes from Satan, the devil himself. And I want you to listen to this, and you can understand where these pagan false Christian churches came from, who's the author of them, who is the spirit of them. And Paul gives you a very good explanation. Here it is.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little.
So again, if you just study the Bible and you understand that the things that you do, why we do what we do is a topic we have on The Plain Truth since it was founded. Why do you do the things that you do when you cannot find support for doing them in the Bible? I always say, let's not put Christ into Christmas. Let's get him the hell out of Christmas. Xmas is the right word, but that's not even the right word because X is really a symbol, cross, a symbol for Christ. But we need to realize what the holiday is about. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ's birth. He wasn't born in December. But let's go on to some of the other things about what makes December 25th so important to being Christmas, and it's all about paganism.
Delving into the myths of various European customs around Christmas time, it should be noted that the dating of Christmas was not the dating as held in the ancient or medieval past. The date, according to the calendar, was always December 25th, but when the Julian calendar was changed for the Gregorian calendar, the old December 25th became the new January 7th. The Eastern Orthodox still celebrate dates according to the Julian calendar, but it no longer matches with the solstice period due to a flaw with the original calendar, which has the days slowly drifting from the solar year. Various local Christmas traditions, some of which continue, will take place anywhere between December 24th and January 7th. Due to the change in the calendar and some traditions locally, either sticking with the old days or going with the new days eclectically. In the Slavic traditions of Eastern and Central Europe, Christmas is sometimes referred to as Korochin, thought to have originally taken place around Christmas Eve, or sometimes referring to Christmas itself. The customs surrounding it have now largely been absorbed into various Christmas traditions. Korochin, Krachin in Slovak, is thought to mean to make a step or to step forward. The most probable meaning of this is in reference to the changing of the year, and very likely the solar cycle. The 25th of December is not the solstice, but it's the first day in which the sun begins to move again towards the northern hemisphere.
That's an important concept here. We'll get into some other things in this program. But December 25th is not the winter solstice. It is the day that it is observable that the shortest day is now becoming longer. It's the first day since the solstice that the pagans could see, oh, we have an extra 2 minutes of sunlight. This must mean God heard our prayers, that, you know, the virgins that we burned or the children that we sacrificed. And that's really what happened, to make sure that the sun would start going longer again. This is what you're doing when you're sacrificing, and that's what you're doing, or celebrating Christmas. You're sacrificing ancient traditions on the altar of paganism to our God, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Santa Claus. Where does Santa Claus come from? Where do the traditions of Santa Claus come from? Is that harmless? Did Santa Claus get invented by Macy's department store in order to sell Christmas gifts, or Coca-Cola with the big, fat, jolly, rounded man in a red suit? Was that all the 20th century traditions? Some people try to say that, but no, Santa Claus comes from a much more evil tradition than that. Listen to this. This is by Michael Rood. We usually put this also up during the holiday season, so you can see where Santa Claus really came from.
Read in the Scroll of Ruth that Elimelech and his family left Bethlehem during a drought and sojourned east of Israel in the land of Moab. The Moabites were worshippers of the pagan god of prosperity, Chemosh. It was the same cast iron, pot-bellied god that their kindred, the Ammonites, worshipped by the name of Molech. They both wore the Phrygian cap, the official headwear of both Tammuz in Babylon and later Mithra in Rome. At the time of the winter solstice, December 25th on the ancient calendar, they had a public child mass, meaning sacrifice. The priests stoked the iron image of the enthroned Chemosh with wood and burning pitch, turning their pot-bellied god into a cherry red furnace. The people made long lists of their desires and recited them to the god of prosperity just before they put their infant children into the red-hot lap of their god with his Phrygian cap. As the babies were incinerated in the December 25th child mass, the people were assured that their sacrifice would be rewarded in the coming year. On the same day, south of Israel, the Egyptians worshipped their sun god, Ra. An Egyptian hieroglyph depicts Ra castrating himself, just as Greek legend tells of the god Attis performing the same surgery on himself. Worshippers of Ra would hang gold and silver balls on an upright palm tree, as Jeremiah reports it, and place their decorated gifts to the sun god under the tree decorated with the gold and silver testicles of Ra. This vain custom was performed on Ra's birthday, December 25th. When Israel adopted this custom, they used the evergreen tree, which they cut out of the forest with an axe and erected it in their homes with the help of a hammer and nails so that it would not topple over, and decked it with gold and silver balls. God calls this festival an abomination. In the 1600s, it was illegal to have a Christmas tree or even a Christmas service in America. The pilgrims knew that it was pure pagan sun god worship. Now, don't be offended because I'm telling you these things. Be offended because these abominations have gone unchallenged by modern paganized Christianity. These occult practices have changed very little since being brought into America. A month before the birthday of Tammuz, we have our children make endless lists to the cherry red pot-bellied god of prosperity, and then we place our terrified children into the lap of this god who sits on his throne in the shopping mall wearing his Phrygian cap.
So as you can see here, and I'm going to pause it for a second, and we'll put this video up probably as well, but it's very short, and you're going to listen to the whole thing here, but not see what he's showing you. But what I wanted to show you, this is not just Bob Barney or some offshoots from Armstrong churches or some other Jehovah Witnesses or whatever, some people who do not accept Christmas. This is many scholars, many people who know the truth about Christmas, Easter, Halloween, paganism, the paganism of the Catholic Church. This is well known. Many people do not realize this today, but our forefathers, George Washington, for example, and Thomas Jefferson, who was an agnostic, I will say that right from the get-go, but our forefathers, for the most part in this country, were anti-Catholic, and they did not like the Catholic religion, and they saw it as it is the Antichrist religion, the Babylonian mystery religion. This is what our forefathers originally thought. Thomas Jefferson, for example, had more in agreement with a Muslim religion, I don't, but he did, than he would with the Catholic religion, because they saw the Catholic religion and Europe in general as the location of the Antichrist. Did you know that? That is why George Washington told his soldiers in his very famous farewell address, do not get involved in European affairs. Why would he say that? Because all wars, he said, started in Europe, and all the evil of the world comes out of Europe. And why he believed that is because George Washington, who was a devout Christian, knew that the Catholic Church represented the pagan, false Babylon mystery religion of revelation of the Bible. That's the plain truth. So we go on with this program here, and you can see tradition after tradition has to do with child sacrifice. And I'm going to get into that when we finish with this right in a second.
On Christmas Eve, he will come down the fireplace chimney and deliver gifts under the evergreen tree decorated with gold and silver balls. Our children will kneel before the evergreen phallic symbol as they receive the blessings from their God. And parents charge their credit cards to the limit to make certain that their children are not disappointed when their God makes good on his promise of prosperity. Months before the event, the world shifts into high gear to promise the most fulfilling experience of life when our children open boxes filled with their greatest hopes and dreams. More stuff. The reality is never as great as the carrot dangled before our nose. Our children are disappointed before the last package is opened, and we are in debt for the next 9 months to try to pay for this sinking feeling of despair. That morning's event set up a chain reaction that results in the highest incidence of suicide in the entire year. Instead of putting our children into the fiery red hands of Chemosh on Child Mass Day, we abort millions of babies during the rest of the year, and then celebrate our affluence by lavishing gifts upon business colleagues whom we don't even like, just to show that the God of prosperity is still smiling on us approvingly. It is the same God that is served. The names of the gods just change from culture to culture.
And that's the truth, the plain truth, as I like to say. What I wanted to comment on this whole idea about you want to celebrate. Let me get this straight. Just ask yourself this question. Do you want to celebrate a holiday that was originally a holiday for Satan the devil, that thousands, ten thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of children were burned alive in a fiery lap of the god Molech? Do you want to follow such a holiday and put Christ's name on it? Would you like to, let's say, for example, I like to use this example all the time. Let's say you are the real father of a child, and your wife left you and married another person, a very evil person, a person who absolutely teaches your children there is no God, teaches your children to rob and steal, rob banks is okay, and then the mother of your child says to your child, you're to celebrate your stepfather's birthday as your father's birthday. Would you have a problem being compared to such a stepfather? Well, I have news for you. God has the same problem of you comparing him to Molech or Chemos, the pagan god that required the deaths of human babies that were created in the image of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Every time a child is born through abortion or through the fire that happened during the original Christmas time, you are destroying a child that was made in the image of God. You are destroying future gods. Do you realize how important that is to our Creator? And if you don't, you need to start thinking about it. You need to stop worrying about your traditions or how you grew up and the nice feelings you have around Christmas and start thinking about the feelings that God has. You know, I always say that you're breaking God's heart, and all the time. When you sin, you break God's heart. But God keeps forgiving us. God will forgive you for following Christmas, for pity's sakes. He will. But do you want to continue to test God's patience? Do you want to continue to break God's heart? Do you have no compassion to the God that made you in their image? No compassion at all of what they think about what you're doing to honor your traditions? Well, that's what Christmas is about. I'm sorry to offend people, but that's what Christmas is about. You are celebrating Satan the devil at the expense of Jesus Christ Almighty, who suffered and died for your sins so you can be justified and someday have a life of a God. Yes, that's your destiny, of a God along with Jesus and the Father on a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. I think it's just an awful thing when you think about following a holiday that once you realize it is not the holiday you should be following and you're breaking God's heart, that if you do not change your idea about following it, then you do not care about what Jesus Christ thinks or God. And you're just going to have to admit that. I'll be right back. Bob Barney here talking about theplaintruth.com, the one place to go to every day to discover the best way to keep your health healthy, to find out what you're doing right or wrong, what the news is all about as well, what it means to God if it does, and what it means to you, your future, and the future of your family. That's theplaintruth.com, where you can listen to these broadcasts called The Plain Truth Today. And it's also found at theplaintruthtoday.com. This is Bob Barney for theplaintruth.com saying thank you for listening. Thank you for reading. We appreciate you. Well, in conclusion, I just want to go into the last few things about Christmas that I think we really have talked about, but I just want to reemphasize at the end of this program, because we have to decide as Christians, if we are going to follow Christianity of the Bible, if you have come to the conclusion that the Bible is the source. Now, Catholics, for example, do not accept the Bible as the source. They accept the Pope as the source of knowledge of Christ. If that's what you believe, then go ahead and keep believing it if you want to be fooled. But if you are a Protestant, especially these Bible Baptist type, thump the Bible type preachers and followers who say they follow every word of God and they follow only what the Bible says to do, but they go to church on Sunday and not Sabbath day. They follow Christmas and Easter. They have Halloween. and they see nothing wrong with it. In fact, they double down and they say, we're going to put God's name on Easter. We're going to put God's name into Christmas. Let's put Christ back into Christmas. How many times do you hear that? See signs about that. See Facebook and Instagram posts about, we're going to put God back in Christmas. Well, Jesus, or we're going to put Jesus in Christmas is really what they say. Well, Jesus was never in Christmas. Jesus has nothing to do with Christmas. And want to know what? Jesus has nothing to do with those who want to follow Christmas. And so when you are praying to God for that miracle that you may need in your life, God may answer you even out of your sins, because that is the love that God has for his creation. God may answer you. But you know what? God may not answer you too, because there are passages in the Bible where God is telling his prophets, do not pray for these people because they refuse to follow my laws and my statutes and my ordinances. That is sometimes what we have to consider when our prayers are not being answered. Are we at war? Are we at enmity with God Almighty? And I suggest that we are. And I suggest that this country is going further and further and further down the Catholic line. This country went from being a WASP, which stands for a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant nation with a very, very strong work ethic, to a Catholicized nation where we are now mostly Catholic if we are Christian, and we follow after a religion that has the roots in the Babylon mystery religion as talked about in the Bible. Let's again, I'm going to play a dramatized version of Revelation 17, 1 through 8.
The seven angels came and spoke to me, inviting me to see the punishment of the great harlot who corrupts the earth with her decadence. She is seated on many waters, a city where kings have committed adultery with her, intoxicating the world with her indulgences. Clad in purple and scarlet, she stands adorned with gold and precious stones, holding a golden cup brimming with the filth of her abominations. Beneath her, a formidable beast, scarlet with blasphemous names, snarls, its many heads of horns symbolizing the power that upholds her. Worldly onlookers, drunk on the city's splendor, remain oblivious to the encroaching doom that shadows their every indulgence. A heavenly angel declares, Babylon the Great has fallen, now a haunt for demons. Her luxuries have become a desolate wasteland.
And that verse ends by God saying, or his angel saying to these people in that church, flee Babylon. Flee her before you participate in her destruction, meaning that you follow into the same destruction when you're following that. That the church is going to follow find when Christ returns. Flee Babylon. And that is my message to you today on this Christmas time, is to flee Babylon. Flee the pagan false gospel of Christianity and embrace the true Christianity that you can only find by reading the Bible and listening to every word of the Bible. Don't do a little here and a little there like the Armstrongs tried to say, because the next line in that was, so they fall backwards. Follow the Bible as a whole. It will explain itself. It will take care of what you think are inconsistencies, and you will understand the plan of God. You will see that your life can be full of knowledge of God if you ask God to come into your life when you start reading that Bible. Start with a very easy-to-read English translation, but also have other Bible dictionaries and concordances with you so you can study every chapter of the Bible. Listen to these broadcasts. Listen to others. I'm not worried about that. But make your mind up by that you will listen to the Bible and to the God of the Bible, and you will stop following the traditions of man. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, thanking everyone who is listening, still here after listening about Christmas. We do appreciate you, and we do appreciate you discovering the plain truth. Bye-bye.